Mute himself by pressing star six.
Is the Rambam's definition of Chacham HaSateva, which I think Rebbe was defining as like philosophical perspective on science. Is Toru Amada the same thing? Or is Toru Amada. Toru Amada, is that the same idea?
Or is
that a different idea?
Well, the big problem whenever you take things like that is who gets to define what Toru Amada is. You know, some people define Toru Amada as a co-ed camp. You know, it's problematic. It's like someone, I was once in my day, somebody asked me about Zionism. I said, who gets to define that term? Toru Amada is more a social process where people felt there's a lot to be gained from the culture around you in two reasons. First of all, it genuinely adds to understanding. It's good. And it's very important to be able to function society at large. Toru Amada is a social trend. It's how should we look as a society? Hard to say that it's a deep philosophy. It's more of a trend of what's the balance between Torah, learning other things, and so on. I have a very simple raya for it. That is, if let's say Toru Amada was a real philosophy, then the curriculum of Yeshiva University's university would be sat down by all the Rashivas, the Toru Amada people, and decide which is the Oimek HaChachman Mada that's giving us the extra Mada that we need. That's not how it's made. You know, they look over their shoulder what Harvard is doing and they try to imitate something of it, and they look over their shoulder what this school is doing, they imitate. It's more of a keeping up with the Jones, which is it is a pragmatic approach, but it's not a deep philosophical approach. It's a general sense of where does the personal balance lay in. So the Rambam wasn't into Aristotle because it was current or in vogue. There were other philosophers, plenty of other philosophers in vogue that the Rambam just brushes aside as being worthless or whatever. He felt Aristotle gave a structure, and he did. Aristotle was very structured, and the points that he put into place are real, and they're emes. He stopped midway, and anything after a certain point, he messed up. But I need to follow it. They're very different. That he wasn't. He didn't look around and see what's popular.
So Rav Hirsch or Rav Soloveitchik, their perspectives would probably be more nuanced. Would they be closer to the Rambam, or are they still different?
So, the answer would be very possibly yes. I don't know. You know, it's hard to tell. But both of them definitely had a very positive sense of Chachma. They were both real Chachamim. Reb Shamsher Fol Hirsch, interestingly enough, was also very big Hanoi. Together, he if anything that he admired in the world around, he felt must be incorporated, and things he felt were wrong, felt, you know, should be destroyed. There's a letter that Gretz studied with him. Gretz spent a few years in his house studying with him. So he writes that they would study Greek together, study philosophy, they study Tillin, they study Paiska. Seder Yom is not your typical yeshivish Seder Yom, that could be said. But he said there was a certain book, I don't remember offhand, a philosopher, that Shan Farish started reading it, and he said, this is real kfir, we must burn it. And he protested that. He said it belongs to the library. So he said, fine, we'll burn it and we'll pay the library for it. But a safe like this can't exist. He didn't accept the world's opinion of what's right and what's wrong. He had his own opinion. And he felt, and anything that I felt was wrong He was a very, very big kanoi, Rav Shlomo Shachar Hirsch. In this inyan, he felt strongly that understanding the world around is part and parcel of Torah. He did. And Rav Salveitchik, also for him, it was a broadening of horizons. But, down deep, I can only judge from things I've heard and seen, and I did hear him twice. He more or less used the vocabulary a lot more. It's hard to say he bought into the ideas as much as he bought into the categorizations. It gave him a tremendous tool for being able to describe really Torah in other ways. That's really what you get out of it. The type of language that, well, this is the Hegelian and this is that. It was something he never spoke like that. What he did do was he had an extraordinary vocabulary. And vocabulary, I mean, terminology that he had, because he saw the model of terminology as philosophers used, he built a contemporary Torah vocabulary, categorizations. And that's what I could describe it.
Is it a true statement to say about the Shamshon Fall that he brought Torah to the mother world, not the opposite?
It's certainly two things. Certainly the practical audience that he was dealing with were people that were gone and he was bringing Torah to them. In other words, he certainly held of it, but had he been in Hungary, would he have made yeshivas that have limud echol? I don't know the answer to that. And no one knows the answer to that. But it's not at all clear where he was going to Germany, where nobody knew anything. The kids didn't know anything. And he created a school that had some limud kodesh in it and a very religious structure. So in terms of his meisim, it's certainly all we know is this direction. We don't know what would have been this case otherwise. He certainly himself believed that there's a lot, there is what to be gained, and strongly so from other ideas, understandings, well, knowledge. He writes very strongly in one of his letters that we're fools that we think that by isolating our children we can protect them from the world around. It's not going to work, and we need instead to give them a very healthy perspective, a Yiddishkeit perspective. So that was true about that. He himself had been hungry, himself had seen Rabbanim that were not learning. I don't think, he expressed himself. He definitely did have a Zika and felt it's a very important part of the puzzle. But would he have gone to it? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. No one knows. So. Okay. Good. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Shabbos, thank you.